The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you terrified, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they continually were worshipping in the temple, blessing God. It's the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. This coming Thursday, as I mentioned in children's time, May 29th, is the 40th day after Easter, a day in the life of the church, also known as Ascension Day. This is the day when Jesus leaves us and ascends up into heaven. It's a big day on the church calendar, and it's a big day, I'm sure, in your life as well. Everybody's very busy right now, getting ready for their big Ascension Day barbecue bash, I'm sure, right? You got your Ascension Day presents, all those Ascension Day sales at the big box stores. No, yeah, we don't do much for Ascension Day. I don't know a single church around here that's hosting an Ascension Day service on Thursday, except for the Catholics. But the Catholics have Mass every day. They don't have much better else to do, so they don't really count. They're always doing church services. That doesn't count. That doesn't count. Yeah, mostly we just ignore Ascension Day. And I kind of feel bad for Ascension Day in the life of our church calendar. It doesn't get much due, but that's really only in the North American Protestant church that we ignore it. There are other places around the world that give it its flowers. Now, let's all be mature now. Can we do that this morning? Can we be mature? No giggling out there. Let's be adults. This Thursday, there will be big celebrations in Germany because Thursday is Himmelfahrt in Germany. Don't laugh. Yes, it's a funny word, Himmelfahrt. Himmel in Germany, in German means sky, fart means journey. So Ascension Day in Germany is known as Himmelfahrt because it's Jesus' journey to the sky. Okay, it's a beautiful word. I'm glad they're celebrating it. I would like to be the first to wish you a joyous Himmelfahrt. This day in Germany is actually a big day. It's a bit like Mardi Gras, I understand. People dress up in costume. They have a little bit to drink, as Germans are wont to do. It's a big party in Germany. This is a big day in the life of the church. And let's get into why. Why is Ascension Day, Himmelfahrt, such a big thing in the life of our church? Let's get into the context of this passage. The risen Jesus is standing before his friends. They watch him die. They watched Jesus' lifeless body be taken down from the cross. They anoint his corpse. They prepare it for burial. They place him in a tomb. Jesus is dead. But yet here he stands. And the disciples once again gathered together in fear and trembling because a dead man stands before them. Or perhaps it's a ghost. Imagine yourself in that room amongst the disciples in this scene. You would probably be trembling along with them. How is this possible? How has this happened? Fear, confusion rules the day in that locked upper room. But Jesus, sensing their fear, thinks of a way to prove to them that he's not a ghost, he's not an apparition, he's not the trick of an overactive imagination, he's not a bit of undigested beef or a fragment of underdone potato. No, he is real, standing before them, flesh and blood, in the real resurrected bodies. So Jesus says, look at my hands, look at my feet, touch and see that it is me myself. A ghost does not have flesh and bone, as you see that I have. Now, Luke's account does not say whether or not any of them reached out a trembling hand to touch and see for themselves. I imagine they're all too dumbstruck to do so. So Jesus has an even better idea to prove to them that he is in fact alive, raised in body, not a ghost, not a spirit. So he asks the most human of all questions, "You got anything to eat?" Did any of you as a kid have a friend in the neighborhood, one that would just barge into your house unannounced? I think we all had somebody like that, you know, that kid, or maybe you were that kid that you wouldn't even knock, right? You knew the garage door code, or you had a key, or maybe the door was just always unlocked. You just walked in like it was your house. I had friends like this. I was that friend from time to time. And of course, the deal was whenever you came in, you know, the dad made the joke about you need to start paying rent around here or something like that. But you would always then ask for something to eat, right? You go right to the fridge, open it up. What do you got to eat around here? Because that's what friends do. They feed one another. That's what neighbors do. We care for one another. We love one another. We feed our most primal of needs, the need to eat. And feeding the ones you love is showing love in one of the deepest ways we can express. I think Jesus had deeper motivations other than just being hungry for asking something for eat. Not only could he then prove that he was really alive, raised in body, but he was also showing his people how to follow him, how to witness to the world, how to love like him. Because feeding the hungry is tantamount for caring for all creation. Comforting the sick, clothing the naked, caring for the hurt, visiting the lonely, that is how we feed a hungry world. That is how we witness to these things, as Jesus says. After Jesus opens their minds to understand the scripture and commissions them to go forth and proclaim repentance and forgiven, Jesus says, you're witnesses to these things. You are witnesses to these things. I love the way that that is worded by Jesus. Professor Carolyn Lewis writes in Working Preacher that Jesus doesn't say, you will be witnesses, or please be witnesses, or consider being witnesses if you have the time. No, you are witnesses, Jesus says. We are witnesses. Witnessing is not a choice. It's a state of being. Know it or not, like it or not, our actions or lack of actions witness to who we believe Jesus is and who God is. We live this out in every moment of our lives. We are witnesses to the risen Christ. Which begs the question, how do we live out this witness as Jesus would want us to? What things do we fight for? What do we turn away and ignore? That is witnessing to who Jesus is. I think Jesus answers this question for us with the same question he asked his disciples a little bit earlier when he asks, "You got anything to eat?" We witness to Christ's love in this world by feeding the hungry. And the hungry come in all shapes and sizes. Those who hunger in spirit, those who hunger for justice, those who hunger for peace. But that's a lot to put on us, Jesus. That's a lot. Jesus returns from the dead, dumps all this responsibility on us and this witness stuff, and then comes the Himmelfahrt. And he ascends up into heaven. Jesus isn't sticking around to help us through this new calling he's giving us. He's on his journey to the sky. And he just leaves it for us, the church, to do. This is a big deal. This is why this holiday, Ascension Day, is a big deal. Because this is the whole thing. This is what Jesus leaves us with. This is our big job. That's why it's such a big celebration in many countries, because this is the day that Jesus calls us, commissions us, and then leaves us to do the thing, to do the work. But that's a lot. So I have some good news for you this morning, All Saints. You are ready. You are well prepared, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you live it out or not. We are witnesses. We don't have to wait for the right time or the right words to say or the right amount of money or the right plan to do this ministry. Witnessing is a state of being. And we live this out every single day with everything we do or don't do. We are witnesses even when we don't have the words to say. We are witnesses even when we don't do the right things. We are witnesses even when we don't have a lot to give. What matters is that we give what we have, we serve when we are able, and we show up when we can. That's how you feed the hungry of this world. That's how you are witness to Christ in the world. It starts with ordinary action, mundane tasks. We bear witness in even the smallest of gifts. And we live out this calling whether we are aware of it or not. You are witness to these things. And Christ stands before us this morning hungry before he ascends and leaves us to do the work. You got anything to eat? How will you feed this hungry world? Amen.